AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by Beko.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. A dangerous dust warning is still in effect in Springfield, Illinois, where at least six people have died in a deadly pileup on I-55. Many drivers blinded by this storm.
This is bananas.
Oh, my God. We can't see anything.
Oh, my God.
WBBM TV's Charlie DeMar is there with details.
Illinois State Police say approximately 20 commercial motor vehicles and about 40 to 60 passenger cars were involved. Several trucks caught fire, and at this time, there are multiple fatalities.
At least 30 people were taken to hospitals. People are cleaning up now in Virginia Beach after severe storms hammered the East Coast this weekend. About 100 homes and businesses were damaged there by an EF3 tornado. In Texas, investigators say the 38-year-old suspected of murdering his neighbors was in the country illegally. He'd been deported four times since 2009.
It comes as we are hearing from family members of those killed, like Wilson Garcia, who lost his 9-year-old son and his wife. Says his daughter has been asking for her mom.
CBS's Matt Piper reporting. First Republic customers are now J.P. Morgan Chase customers after Chase made a bid for the failed bank last night. Some customers are not happy.
I'm working on closing my account because I will not do business with J.P. Morgan Chase. They're evil.
But the deal's getting praise from President Biden.
These actions are going to make sure that the banking system is safe and sound, and that includes protecting small businesses across the country who need to make payroll for workers and their small businesses.
Next week, Mr. Biden will meet with congressional leaders. They'll address debt ceiling issues ahead of a June 1st deadline. Author E. Jean Carroll, who's accused former President Trump of raping her in the 90s, just wrapped up 3 days of testimony in New York. Mr. Trump has denied the allegations. Prosecutors are expected to call a new witness tomorrow. Your summer travel plans could be in limbo if American Airlines pilots decide to go on strike soon. Chris Torres with the Allied Pilots Association says scheduling is the biggest problem.
So they'll schedule us right up to the limits, and then when there's the slightest delay and we end up timing out, not because we don't want to fly, but because we can't anymore, we have to get off the plane and either go home or they'll find something else for us to do, and that leaves a plane full of passengers.
American says it plans to reach an agreement quickly. After 50 years together, Aerosmith announced it is starting a farewell tour called Peace Out. They plan to hit 40 cities to celebrate their decades-long career starting in September. This is CBS News.
Clean dishes, clean planet. Save $200 in gift card rebates on eligible Beko dishwashers. Visit beko.com/us-
News brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, your personal injury attorneys with over 35 years of experience. GTWLawyers.com. They're all in to win.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. 1 in 3 Wisconsin families tell the United Way they're struggling to pay for basic necessities. The report helps identify people who are above the poverty line but don't make enough money to cover the cost of living. State lawmakers are putting the finishing touches on an historic reworking of Wisconsin's shared revenue system. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says Republicans collaborated with Democrats and consulted Governor Evers.
I think this is an area that Wisconsinites should be proud of. People sat down at the table. We didn't always agree, but people of goodwill hopefully found a good conclusion at the end.
Voss was on WISN's Upfront program Sunday. 20% of the state sales tax would go to local governments, increasing shared revenue by 10%. In sports, the Packers are busy signing undrafted free agents now that the NFL college draft is over. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Accidents can be life-changing, no matter how careful you are. But with Gingras Thompson & Wachs, you're not alone. For decades, they've been fighting for the rights of people just like you. They'll let you focus on your recovery while they handle the legal complexities. If you or a loved one has been hurt or killed due to someone else's negligence, contact them now. You may deserve compensation.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson and Fox, GTWLawyers.com.
feeling down, anxious, depressed? You are not alone. According to the World Health Organization, approximately 280 million people have depression, but the majority never receive treatment. At WellPoint Care Network, they can help. Their outpatient clinic staff are both qualified and caring, not to mention highly trained in partnering with you on your healing journey. Make an appointment today at wellpointcare.org. They serve all ages, infants, children, and adults. Both in-person and virtual services are available. Learn more at wellpointcare.org.
Hey, this is Lindsay Kindert at 540 WAUK The Shaw. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me, Lindsay Kindert, at info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Wash and visit naturalawn.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
There it is. Hey, we just had that little meme or whatever they're called, not being a Gen Z. I don't know what the heck they're called. But hey, beautiful day in the neighborhood. We're mixing it up here a little bit here on Native Roots Radio. And we're going to start off with our sacred animal section. Very popular over these past 7 years. I learned something new every time or almost every time that you speak apart or about our relatives. With hooves, tails, and fins, and big noses like myself. And we really appreciate you. And I know when we're out and about in the community, people always have a lot of good things to say about your portion, Wendy.
Oh, I appreciate that. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. And it's always my pleasure to do that. Robert, I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed with Murphy the Eagle.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so Murphy the Eagle, he is in a sanctuary at the World Bird Sanctuary in Missouri. He's a big internet sensation because what happened was as soon as the weather started changing a couple of months ago, Murphy had it in his head that he wanted to be a father eagle. So he started incubating a rock. this poor bird, right? He really wanted. He's there. He's 31. He's 31 years old. He's been at the sanctuary most of his life because he was injured early on when he was a fledgling. So he's there for his whole life, practically. But and he's never had a mate. And then this year, what happened was, I guess he was feeling a maternal need, and he started incubating a rock at the sanctuary. He built a little nest and on the ground, and got a rock and sat on the rock. And moved the rock around and fixed up the nest. And the people at the sanctuary kind of felt a little bad for him, you know, because the rock wasn't ever going to hatch. And what was going to happen if Murphy, you know, didn't have a little bird to take care of. But anyway, what happened was, just in the nick of time, a nest elsewhere fell over and an eaglet was found and needed a parent. So what they did was they kind of swapped out the rock while Murphy wasn't looking, and they put the little eaglet in there, and they're getting along just famously. So I've been watching almost every day, just kind of checking in to see what they're doing and everything. And they just put up an update that I want to share with everybody. So this is the World Bird Sanctuary in Missouri, and this is where Murphy lives with the little eaglet. So the little eaglet, they don't name the little eaglets. The eaglet actually has a number. It's called 23-126, and that's what they call the eaglet. They just say that they feel, since it's a wild animal and they will be releasing this little eaglet, that they feel like it's I don't know, it's like a superstition that they have that it's bad luck and they don't want to name it. So they just number it. Yeah, so it's 23-126. But here's a little update. I'm going to read a little bit from their Facebook page. And you could go on, you could just Google Murphy, Eagle Murphy, and all these pictures come up and you could really, they have videos and it's really quite cute to watch. And as we know, many Native American people are in the Eagle clan. So there we go. Robert's about to sneeze. God bless you. Murphy has directly fed the eaglet only once that we know of, when they were first introduced. And we're not expecting him to feed the chick directly, as we prefer to see the chick eating on its own right now. Murphy does not sleep in the nest with the eaglet. So these are some questions that people call in and ask on the Facebook page. The eaglet will be banded before release. So it'll have a little bracelet around its little talon. So they could just keep an eye on them. And then flight training is very instinctual, but birds of prey tend to be a bit lazy. I think I talked about this the last time. So we'll make sure our eaglet is flying enough in our 200-foot flight enclosure to build muscle and learn to take off and land properly. We won't need to worry as much about imprinting at that point. You know what? I think I said, here, there's a timeline. So I want to go over the timeline, what they plan on doing. So May 5th, which is coming up, the eaglet will be 6 weeks old and should be walking well and begin to tear food on its own. So that's really good. I think they have to like chop it up for it right now, but he'll tear his own food. May 12th, perches will be added to existing enclosure so the eaglet can start branching. Wow. So they're going to start putting perches up. So, May 19th, plan to start switching entirely to whole food. So on May 19th, the eaglet's going to have to tear at its own food and eat. And this is the sanctuary's way of preparing little 23-126 to fly on its own, right? Oh, yeah. June 2nd, the eaglet will be 10 weeks, and they plan to move it to a large flight to start flight training. And we'll move Murphy in as well and provide him with lower perches because Murphy can't fly. Murphy has a broken wing and could never fly, so he just like walks around. And June 18th, which is Father's Day, that's the targeted release date, and they'll give details, and they're inviting the public to come and watch the release of the eaglet. A Murphy Rock Baby Eaglet t-shirt will be released on May 5th. So on May 5th, if you want to go on, which I probably will, get a Murphy Rock Baby Eaglet t-shirt. I'll go on and get. If you want to, you could donate to them. It takes a lot of money, right, to take care of these animals, a lot of expertise to come in. They have, you know, veterinarians and, you know, really good health care for the animals. So
Yeah.
It's always good to do that. But a lot of people have also been kind of commenting that the enclosure where Murphy and the eaglet isn't really like a nice enclosure, right? Some have commented that Murphy and 23-126's current enclosure seems a bit drab and small for a bald eagle. Now, I never even saw that. I just saw this nice little place where they were, and I just thought, why would they even care? But
Right. Apparently
people are a little bit worried about that. But the people at the sanctuary said, you're right, it does appear to be both of these things. That is because these two are currently housed in the rehab enclosure. There are a lot of design differences between the rehab enclosure and the enclosures designed to permanently house our ambassador birds. And we would never choose to permanently house an eagle in something like that they're currently set up in. The enclosure that they're in is currently 8 by 36 feet. So I think that's pretty big. And they do get to see air and get to look outside, and the roof is pretty open, but they do put barriers up if the weather's bad. So I'll give you more updates on Murphy the eagle and the little eaglet 23-126.
Sure beats hanging with a rock.
I know, right? I think he's going to miss the eaglet after he's released, right? Don't you think he'll be sad?
Find him another one. Hey,
yes.
Up next, Dr. Stately. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Pini Gigi, Wendy.
Yeah, stay with us.
When we heal from our traumas.
When we face our fears.
Let go of our addictions.
When we relearn our values.
When we live our teachings.
Respecting our elders.
Cherishing and honoring our children.
When we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Your Blue Line Extension Project wants to hear from you. We are working on extending the Blue Line Light Rail into North Minneapolis, Robbinsdale, Crystal, and Brooklyn Park, and connecting it to our growing transit system. Tell us about your neighborhood, your business, your family, and what you need from your Blue Line. Learn more and share more of your story at yourblueline.org. That's yourblueline.org.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
I'm Angela Warner for Warner Stellium. Sometimes appliances break. Other times you spend years wishing they would. We get it. That's why right now we're paying you to upgrade with our trade-in sale. We'll pay you $50 for each appliance you replace. Our in-store specialists take out the guesswork of wondering what's the best one and which one will fit. Then Warner Stellium professional crews will deliver, install, and take your old stuff away, saving you time and money. So outsource your stress and shop family-owned Warner Stellium.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we got Dr. Stately coming on very soon.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's heading home and getting ready and getting his
It's hard
iPad
when you're getting home from work and you're,
I saw him earlier today, and what I'd like to say, Wendy, is happy Native American Heritage Month. I saw him at the opening parade today. I also saw our Hinu, which is our first daughter, Jaleesa, in the new Native Theater, had a float out there, Wendy, along with, and I'm not sure if they won or what, but it was exciting to see them and you know, just a quick shout out to the play. It's just an amazing, amazing, amazing thing at New Native Theater.
Yeah. So Jaleesa, our daughter, my stepdaughter, plays Lucille in This Is How We Got Here. And it's, I'm going to bring up the poster here. It's the first time here in the United States. It started April 19th, and it's running through May 7th, and it's at Dreamland Arts, 677 Hamlin Avenue North in St. Paul, and you could go and check it out and find out the times of the showings, but it's really an amazing production,
yeah.
And I have to say, Jaleesa did a really superb job. I'm just...
Well, there's four really, characters,
yeah.
And it was like... well done, well done. That's mm-hmm. all I have to say. And the story's intense, and it's an award-winning mm-hmm. Tonys. They don't have Tonys in Canada, but that's the awards that they won for this play. And it was well done. And there's a lot of little nuances for me as a Native American that mm-hmm. we talked about. And I won't give it away, but it's the last week of the show. Mm-hmm. Dr. Stately from Native American, the CEO of Native American Community Clinic in Minneapolis, Twin Cities, is with us, and it was great seeing you and parading with you today. Ho-wah.
Parading, right? It's the first time I've paraded in quite some time, actually. So apparently, it's like riding a bicycle. You really don't ever forget how to parade after you've done it once.
Well, it was good. I think we were in step a few times, and then, you know, people were listening to our conversation, so we had to yell
right?
at a couple
I
people.
Know. It's like, who knows, like when you're in a parade and that people are actually listening to you.
it's funny.
It was nice visiting, though. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was great seeing you and talking about a lot of community stuff, and it was funny, too. You know, if Wendy would have been there, she would have said the name too, just like our youngster turned around and said, "This person you're talking about," and it's like, "Oh yeah, that's it. Why are you listening to our conversation?"
It's kind of like a reminder, you know, it's like that you have to be, you know, mindful of, like, everybody has ears and they all use them. but also it's like like, you know how, like, I'm always talking, like, and then all of a sudden, I don't think my kids are listening to me or whatever, and I'm talking, and then all of a sudden, they'll pop up, and they'll be like, have a comment, or they'll have a question. I'll be like, what are you doing listening to me?
Right.
You never listen to me.
Exactly. They have selective anyway. Hearing, and I think I did when I was young, too, because that's where I got that term.
What do you mean, when you were young, you still do?
Easy, Wendy.
I bet he doesn't suffer from selective mutism, though.
We're going to have a domestic over the air.
Oh, we have a Dr. Stately here who could probably facilitate this.
Yeah, we could arrange a little fundraising event here. A little match. A little fundraising match for NAC. That would be a lot of fun, actually. Anyway, yeah, it was a beautiful day for a parade, other than how windy it was. Good Lord, it was like, you know... For a moment there, I thought I was, you know, an extra in Wizard of Oz. Not
my toupee was getting loose too.
I know, right? Yeah, his toupee was coming loose. I told him to talk to you and have him you sew some braids into a hat for him so that you can just wear it all the time.
What do you think, Wendy? Oh, wear a hat and put some braids in there. I used to have one, but never mind. Go ahead. It's probably in the basement.
Sweet Lord. That's funny. It was a beautiful day for a parade. It was really nice to see all the people out and the floats. It was really mm-hmm. nice. NAC had a little unchika, a little pitiful float that we put together at the last minute. It was, you know, one of my staff. I was like, I'm ready to walk out the door to walk to the park and meet everybody at Little Earth. And they're like, do you want to ride in the truck? I was like, the truck? We have we have a float. I'm like, we do? It's an example of how things function there. And I'm always the last one to know what we're doing at the clinic. It's like, you know, oh, we have a float. Oh, we're doing this. Oh, we're doing that. Yeah. But it was cool. It was fun. Yeah. A lot of fun.
Definitely fun. Right. And yeah. It was great to see, again, things are opening up slowly, and it was great to see the community out there and a lot of young ones and out there enjoying ourselves like we do.
Yeah, there were a lot of really, it was nice to see people I hadn't seen in a while. I saw a cousin I hadn't seen in years.
Oh, wow.
He is in early recovery. He was telling me all about like how he's, you know, how he's doing. He's in, trained to be a peer recovery coach. It was like cool. Really cool to hear and see all that. So
yeah, we saw all the
people I hadn't seen in a while, and I was like, you know, you never want to say like, oh my gosh, you're here, still here. I thought you were not with us anymore.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
We saw those Ho-Chunks too. There was 30 of them.
There was 30. There were, 30 or 40 of them or so, depending on your arithmetic skills.
Yeah, thank you. We saw three right away, Wendy, and I said, there's so many Ho-Chunks here, and 33.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, it was a really lovely day, and great day, you know, May 1st, May Day, also kickoff for the American Indian Month. I know that... people probably are wondering, like, well, where can I hear about or see about all the things that are happening in the community? There's a couple places you can look. There's the Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors Group, also called the MUD Group, M-U-I-D. They have a Facebook page, and they also have a website. And you can see all of the things that are happening in both the Minneapolis and St. Paul, so the Twin Cities area, for the month of May that's been publicly announced. And then there's a calendar at the Circle, and also at circle.org, I think, their online footprint. A few places you can see things. And this is the month where it's everybody gets out, we go places, we see each other, we do what we do in Indian country, which is we support each other and we socialize, and there's laughter and there's joke telling and there's, you know, getting to taste really good food and, yeah, just a really wonderful time of the year. So,
kind of the kickoff of powwow season too, in a way, outdoor powwows.
Dr. Stately just froze.
Jeez, I wonder if he would know if we were talking about him or not. Oh, there he's back.
He
hey,
he's back. He's unfrozen.
No, he's frozen again. There he is. All right. Yeah, it's reminding me of that old Saturday Night Live skit, Unfrozen or Frozen Caveman, and it's like Frozen Indian over here. Do you remember the Saturday Night Live skit?
No.
No? You don't?
No. Not that particular one.
Yeah. I'm not that old, actually. So.
Oh, come on. They were trying to give you a plate today.
Just for you. Listening audience, when Robert said they tried to give you a plate today, that means that the younger generation will give elders the food first, feed them first. Yeah. So that's what that reference is.
They wanted to give me two, and yes. I said, hold on there, I'm not that old.
It's true, actually, yeah. You know, I told them, I said, like, you know, I still can, I don't have any replaced hips or anything like that. I said, I can walk and get my own plate. I'm happy to do that. So, you know, but you, yes, Robert, you should have someone bring you your plate.
Oh, my goodness. Got a couple of them, you know.
It's like the comedy hour of Native Roots Radio. I love it.
Well, you know.
Hey, speaking of comedy hour, did you see that they had the Indian comedy thing this last weekend?
Yeah, we had Patricia Cook on earlier that week. She was awesome.
I was so disappointed I missed that. I was like, dang it. I really, like, I never get to go to stuff like that. Because guess where do you think Dr. Stately would have been on a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday evening?
Hockey.
Hockey, yes, because nothing else in the state of Minnesota exists other than hockey.
But, yeah. Wow. Well, you got two young warriors that are awesome at hockey, and it's just you're a great father to support them, and I'm sure they're grateful. Time, so, yeah.
And I think of it as an investment in their future, and I can't think of it any other way, otherwise it would really bother me.
Oh, it's good that Dr. Stately and us, and I should say, both think we're pretty funny. So that's a good Monday night or Monday night show routine here.
Mm-hmm.
With,
yeah.
With the doctor and the pilot.
Yes, I do.
Anyway, yeah. And for those of you that don't think we're funny, like, stay tuned because we'll have a serious conversation when you come back.
Good segue. Really good segue. You've been on the show for 3 years. That was a great segue. Hey, you're listening
been
to
that Native long, Artie? Holy man.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back with Dr. Stately after this short break.
Stay with us.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Special Report. Illinois State Police say a two-mile stretch of I-55 will remain closed through the night after a deadly dust storm caused a massive pileup in Springfield, killing at least six people. WBBM-TV's Charlie DeMar is there.
We spoke to a number of drivers who were uninjured but are now stuck in the middle of this, and the one driver we spoke to is just completely covered in dust, head to toe.
At least 30 people were taken to hospitals with injuries, and emergency workers are now having a tough time working through blinding conditions.
The conditions have to be just right to have a situation like this, as far as the excessive winds and then the loose dirt on top of the farm fields to cause near extreme low visibility, like a whiteout condition, but a brownout condition.
State Police Major Ryan Starick.
Nothing in my 24-year career that I can recall having something as severe as this.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Monica Ricks.
WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matinair. Here's what you need to know. A Democratic member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission is stepping down today. 72-year-old Julie Glancy announced on Friday she planned to resign. Glancy was appointed to the newly created bipartisan commission by then-Governor Scott Walker and later reappointed by Governor Evers until 2026. In a statement, Glancy said it's time to make way for someone with a fresh perspective. Governor Evers will now appoint a successor from a list of Democrats who were former local government clerks to serve out the rest of her term. If you write checks, you can protect yourself from thieves by using gel ink pens. State officials are warning of check washing. That's when criminals wash ballpoint pen ink off of checks using certain chemicals. This allows them to put their name on it, cash the check, and take your money. Gel ink soaks into paper, which makes it much harder to remove. I'm Jane Matinair. This is Civic Media News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
We're all familiar with the three what's. What is it? What can it do for me? And what does it cost? At Country Financial, we can help you find the answers with insurance coverage to help protect what's most important to you, all at a price you can afford. So while you're juggling work and kids while trying to keep an eye on your future, we'll make sure we're one of the first ones there when you need us most. What should you do next? Call Matthew Holbrook, your Country Financial representative, at 414-332-2137 and chat about your insurance needs today. 414-332-2137.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Mike Crivello's Camera Center help you start your family photo album by turning your digital images into gorgeous 4x6 inch prints on 2 for Tuesday. Buy one print, get the second free, up to 100 prints. In-store only at 181st and Blue Mound.
Ah!
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, the CEO of Native American Community Clinic in Minneapolis in Minnesota here, and also my comedy partner here on Monday nights sometimes. But we want to switch the gears a little bit here, Dr. Stately, and talk a little bit about what you'd like to talk about, because Wendy always reminds me that you guys have, I should ask you what you want to talk about. So that's a good one, Wendy.
Well, yeah, I mean, I could joke with you all day. You're a lot of fun to spar with. But I think one of the things I wanted to mention here was like NAC. And so NAC does have an open house coming up on May 19th in a couple weeks, two Fridays from this Friday. And that would be our contribution to American Indian Month from 10 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon. We're going to have some good food, so show up early because food goes early all the time. But also it's our 20th anniversary as a clinic. And so we're going to also, from noon to 1, we're going to do an honoring for our founders. So we're going to honor the founders of NAC, including, the four or five staff, I think, that started the clinic back in 2003, the providers. And we're also going to honor two board members, two founding board members that are no longer with us, Larry Leventhal, the great activist lawyer that helped AIM and a bunch of Native organizations get established, including NAC, and also Clyde Belcourt, who passed last year. And their families will be in visiting us in person to sort of like be, receive their recognition. We have like certificates and small gifts for them. And then the second half of that hour, we are so going to unveil our plan for our new building that we're launching and that we're building in 2025.
Wow.
That'll be exciting opportunity for us to acknowledge and thank the people who have partnered with us on the new building, including our housing partner, Wellington Management Incorporated, and then also thank the senators and the representatives, Omar and Senators Smith and Klobuchar, who helped get us federal funding to support our clinic expansion, and all of the other people locally who've kind of contributed to that. So it's going to be a great day, lots of fun. Hopefully no rain. Hopefully it'll be no rain and no wind. I'm hoping it will be less windy. So, yeah.
Well, that's
great. Congratulations.
That's
really
a huge update.
Yeah, it's exciting.
That is huge.
It is really exciting.
Yeah.
And, reaching out to Larry Leventhal's family, I had to look him up. I had to go, troll. I looked, contacted some people. Some people said, oh, look at the surviving relatives and the obituary. So I looked that up on the Star and Trib. He died in 2016 or January 2017,
that's
right after I started at the clinic. And I found a relative of his on Facebook and reached out to her, and we had a really nice conversation a couple weeks ago. It was nice to talk to his sister, and maybe she and his grandchildren will come with her on the 19th. But it was nice to share stories of Larry. I was able to acknowledge his contribution to NAC, but I also was able to tell her that her brother Larry was really helpful in my early life. I was a young man, about 22, I think, when I got charged with the DUI right before I got clean and sober. And Larry helped me to sort of manage that violation, and help me clean up my record and a few other things. He was a friend, a really good friend of my mother's, who was on the board of the Indian Center at the time. And so, yeah, he's just a good man. And it's a great opportunity to acknowledge him. And, of course, Clyde, my uncle Clyde Belcourt, his children, Susie and Crow and Wolf will be there. to acknowledge their father's contribution to NAC and so many other institutions that he helped, that AIM helped to establish. So be a great, great day.
Yeah, I was so blessed the last 4 or 5 years of his life that maybe even a little longer than that, that I was able to hang out with Clyde Belcourt and have him call me up in the middle of the day and wonder what I'm doing. And, you know, how he used to do that to everybody. And especially during COVID when he would not be able to be out and about like he was for so many years. It was probably driving him crazy. And he was on the phone all the time calling people going, what are you doing? What's up? You know, and telling stories about the old days.
Yeah. He was those last 4 or 5 years of his life. He would come to the clinic regularly because we were his healthcare provider. You know, he could have went anywhere, but he came to us and him and Peg, and they'd always come together and, you know, get their annual checkups and any other things that they needed. And it was just really nice to see him. Whenever he would be in the clinic, he'd make a point of like trying to find me or send somebody to get me. And I'd go in the exam room and sit and visit him with him a while and catch up on him and the family. And, you know, he'd tell me some old time stories, or he'd say, hey, remember when this happened? And I'd be like, yeah, it's kind of cool. So it's just like, he'll always be really special to me in my have a special place in my heart and in my memories, in my life. So really excited to.
Well, Your mother was very involved with the American Indian movement, and I saw some post just recently that you were celebrating. Was it her anniversary of her birthday that I saw some pictures?
No, I posted on April 27th. That was the 35th anniversary of her passing. So she died on April 27th, 1988. And that was a rough day for me, actually. I didn't really realize it was like last Thursday. And I was just kind of having a rough day generally. There was a few things that were challenging, and also just sort of like I kind of was walking around feeling a certain kind of way and a little bit weepy. And I didn't really kind of like it didn't sort of kind of none of it really sort of kind of made a lot of sense to me. I was trying to figure out what was going on with me. And then I realized right around 4:30 or 5, I think I was like, oh, my gosh, it's April 27th. My mom passed away 35 years ago today. And so, you know, she was my mother, of course, and I love her dearly, and I miss her. And you know, I have a challenging job, and I have a challenging position in my role at NAC as, you know, a community leader, and a lot of responsibilities. And I, you know, I don't always make the right choices. I try to do my best to make the right choices and decisions. And I really tried to, you know, I think I put in my post, I said, I always ask myself, like, what would my mother say, or what would my mother do? Right. And, cause she was a really respected community leader for so long. And she really, I think, taught me through example how to show up and be a leader in the community. And you know, and so it was just a tough day. So then I realized, oh, it's this day, you know. And so it was, I made a post about it. And yeah, she'll always, you know, it's nice to hear people's comments. You know, people commented like, you know, oh, your mother would be very proud of you,
right?
You know, those kinds of things. And that certainly does you know, feel good to hear that. I think my desire to make her proud of me, and my desire to sort of follow in her footsteps and make her, you know, keep her memory alive and also contribute meaningfully to the community is a big motivation for me. So it's just kind of nice to hear.
But well, you have Dr. Stately, and I'm sure your mother's super proud of you. I know we're proud to know you here at Native Roots Radio, and specifically you. Wendy and I, we talk good things about you all the time. I notice too, and I know you're a humble man, and me, I'm proud of my humility, so I like to tell people about it. Oh, but you had just won an award, and thank you.
Wendy, stop laughing at
those jokes, but I appreciate you laughing at that. Tell us a little bit about that award. That was amazing.
Oh, well, thank you for acknowledging that. Yeah, I won an award from the University of Minnesota, the Board of Regents. They acknowledged they gave me the 2023 community engagement recognition for my community engagement with the university. So the award that they give, they said it's one of their most prestigious awards that they give, and it really has to do, I think, with the work that I've done to engage I've developed strategic partnerships and research specifically in the work that we're doing at the clinic around the integration of traditional healing and cultural healing into like medicine and Western healthcare structures. It's been a really interesting couple of years since we've done some really good great projects together. Looking forward to building out that relationship with the University of Minnesota. I'm a principal investigator on a project that we do together under this research center that is called the C2 Dream Center, Center for Chronic Disease and Elimination of Health Disparities Reduction Act. Project, and it's one of 11 centers across the United States that's been funded on this one mechanism, and we're the only Native American project in all of the 11 centers. And so it's kind of I also got an email from people at the White House. They want regular updates about my project because they're really interested. It's around youth physical activity and healthy eating. So we have a pilot that we just launched over in American Indian Magnet School at Flipside, their after school program, and we'll be launching a longer project in Minneapolis Public Schools next year.
Wow, Flipside.
This work I do, it's like, to me, it's like, it's interesting. It feels good to be acknowledged for it, but it's also just stuff I've been wanting to do for a really long time, and I'm finally getting around to doing it, and I really enjoy it a lot.
Yeah, and Flipside's a great program. I know I worked with them in Drumline after school for with Marianne and the group out there. That's exciting, and there's a lot of traction there, and they do good work out there on Flipside.
And I'm really proud of that project. That project is all designed to demonstrate that, Native people, our dance, our music, our movement, our ceremonies, our practices, our cultural food, our traditional foods, all those things give us health and they make us alive and thriving, right? So we don't really need anything from, Western medicine that we can't, do for ourselves. And we just need to show the evidence that that works. And that's really what that project is about.
Well, we're here with Dr. Stately of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis, and we're really happy to have him on as always. And it's been a kind of a celebration today, a happy Native American Indian Month. And we'll be right back with Dr. Stately.
Stay with us. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
As farmers and ranchers, stewardship of the land comes naturally. Your work keeps our water clean, improves the soil, and enhances wildlife habitat. It also provides countless benefits, not just for you and your family, but for millions of Americans who depend on this region every day without even realizing it. Thank you for being stewards of America's prairie for all of us. Take a moment to find out how conservation pays. Visit conservationpays.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Howl!
I love my Toyota vehicle, so when I have to get service done, there's only one place I go. Rudy Luther Toyota. They know Toyotas inside and out. It starts with them checking your alignment and tire treads with the Hunter Quick Check Drive Inspection Service. Oil changes, tires, batteries, wipers, no matter what you need done, they can help you with reliable Toyota parts and the best service team in Minnesota. Check their website, RudyLutherToyota.com, for service and parts specials just for your Toyota vehicles. Get your Toyota serviced at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl. We're waiting for everybody's dog, including Dr. Stately's dog, to howl.
I think he has in the past.
Well, Dr. Stately, I just have to say this. We met a few years ago, and I know you supported St. Paul, especially during the beginning of COVID with shots. And I just heard nothing but good things about you. And it's so cool to have you on the show and have you on the show so frequently. But I see you in the community all the time. And wow, that's important. And all the awards or whatever. But you just being in the community, people coming up to you all the time and, you know, that's really important. And I just want to throw that out to you. It's so important.
Thank you. You know, it's one of the things, one of my favorite things about my job is that I get to be in the community, you know, the community that I was born and raised in. And, you know, I left here when I was 22 years old, like not too long after I got clean and sober, or 23, I think, right after I had that DUI. And I moved to Los Angeles, and I lived there for 18 years. And then I lived in Seattle for 5, and then came back after my sons were born to work and to raise them here. And, you know, when I, you know, the 2016, life-changing for me. I get to think at the job at the Native American Community Clinic. And so I've been there ever since. And, you know, my favorite thing about the job is really being in the community. My favorite thing is, like, you know, I look forward to springtime and summer and fall when I can, like, you know, walk down Franklin Avenue. I could go over to Gatherings Cafe and have lunch. I can stop at Powell Grounds and have coffee, and I can, you know, see everybody and anybody in the community that I haven't seen. You know, I could not have seen them for 20, 30 years since I was in high school, or I could have seen them last week. And the conversations are always really wonderful. And, you know, people, you know, people give me feedback about the clinic. That's where I get some of my ideas about, like, the things that we kind of take care of and tend to. And there's really, it's a really wonderful experience to be there. You know, I tell people all of the time that, you know, Franklin Avenue, the Av raised me into the man I am. So, you know, they raised me literally and figuratively, and it still continues to contribute greatly to, you know, who I am and my identity as a Native man, you know, and the work that I do, but also greatly into, like, my, you know, my very fiber of my being and who I am. So, you know, I was born and raised in South Minneapolis, and I'll, you know, my heart will always be there. My heart will always be with that community and with my people there. And they are my relatives, you know, and many of them are my actual blood relatives. A lot of the people that come to the clinic are my blood relatives. I tell my staff that all the time. They're not just, like, you know, like Omotake Oasin, we're all related. They are actually my relatives, you know. So.
Yeah, it's like Ho-Chunk. I'm related to everyone. You know, I was joking with Representative Daniel DeLong, and I said, we're related, and I was just kind of kidding. And then she came back to me, like, a couple days later and asked her mom. She said, wow, we are related. I was like, what the ticket? We're all related.
I was going to make a Facebook post when Jerry Springer died the other day. And I was going to post this on Facebook. I might still do it. But I was going to say, like, oh, all you Native men who you know, or wondering, like, you know, if you had any children out there that you didn't know about, like, you know, now that he's dead and all the information will come out, and you're going to find out you had kids you didn't know about. The transcripts will be released.
I'm sure Jerry Springer has a whole pile of envelopes that haven't been opened yet.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah, they have like, you know, is Rob Stately my dad? I want to know.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, and it's funny, too, not to digress here, but I will, is Oprah was just as bad as him when she first started, and then she just said, I'm not doing this anymore after like being national for 5 years. And to give her credit, really? She didn't.
Huh, I don't remember that. I just remember giving away cars all the time.
Yeah. And envelopes under the seat. Yes.
Yeah. 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 That'll be me at our open house. You get Indian taco and you get Indian taco.
Yeah.
Until they run out.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, I can't wait. Can you maybe talk about the 19th again real quick?
Yeah, no. So NACS open house will be May 19th, 10 o'clock in the morning till 2 in the afternoon. We're going to have a lot of, like, you know, really fun stuff to do. It'll be, you know, there'll be swag to have and, you know, a few other things. And, you know, we're going to honor the founding members of NAC, Native American Community Clinic. So the 4 or 5 providers that established NAC back in 2003. And then the two of the founding board members, Larry Leventhal and Clyde Belfort. And, you know, then we're also going to unveil our plans for our new building and kind of announce it publicly that day. So pretty exciting, very, very exciting day and time for me. So, and yeah, charting a new path forward. So.
Yeah. Is that what the t-shirts are going to say that you're going to give me is?
So every year we do our open house, we do a new t-shirt, and this one has a really beautiful design by my niece, Nichez Bolio, who actually works in our community health department. But she designed a really beautiful Ojibwe floral design with a beaver on it. And also our open house, we also pick one of the 7 grandfather teachings or a Dakota value to sort of kind of represent our theme for that year. And so I think I forget what the this one's the beaver. So, mm-hmm. And I think it's like you know, humility or something like that. Yeah.
Is that what the beaver is stands for?
I think so. Humility, yeah.
Yeah,
you know,
that's cool.
Busy
that's
as perfect. A beaver, just, you know, put your head down and work. Wow. So, you know, being such a humble man, I'll make sure you get a t-shirt, you know, because you'll need one.
You know, I was just thinking, yeah, I need to go there. To
announce it to everybody.
I'm going to stop talking about it and get there early.
Yeah, and come early too if you want lunch because it.
Frozen.
He's frozen.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's okay. We all have been frozen. There we are. Sorry. Unfrozen.
You're back. You want me to get there early for what,
Dr.? We're going to have two different food trucks. So come.
Oh.
Yeah. Hey, it's our 20th anniversary. We got to go big.
That's cool. Is Trickster going to be there?
I think Trickster might be one, yeah.
So. They are awesome, and they're really blowing up. I really, a former student of mine at Harding High School is the owner of that, him and his wife, and really happy and proud to see them. They're super nice people, and you know, good things are happening for them, so that'd be great if they're there. But
you know what is so amazing, like I was just thinking about this, like then you reminded me when you're talking about this, like when I was a kid, like in the 70s and 80s, there was like, we had such a dearth of that kind of stuff. Like we have so many indigenous businesses. My brother, Charlie, owner and operator of Windland Indian Crafts, he was like one of the first native mercantiles on Franklin Ave, the longest operating one now, 46 years on the Ave, I think. But now we have so many of them, and they're just so amazing. Like we are, you know, it's just a testament to who we are as people that we are, you know, we're artists, we're mercantiles, we're entrepreneurs, we're innovators, we're scientists, we're great thinkers, right? So, yeah, so we contribute greatly to the world. So,
what a great way to end the show, Dr. Stately. We really appreciate all you had to say, as always. And, you know, you're up there as one of the top 5 people that come on the show every week. Ho-wah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Right on. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground in which we stand on, it's sacred ground. It's sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Now.
Are record high energy and water costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive. While you may not ask for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to be without heat, water, or power. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help. That's www.heat.help.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.